This is the Tech Arts Network.
Welcome to Church Grip, episode 19. Today we're going to re-review the Soundcraft VI Compact 32, and this is just a follow-up to my initial review of that product, and just been asked to give some thoughts after I'd used it a little bit, and these are just some quick things that we've come across in using the VI Compact recently. It's been a while since I've put an episode out. I've been moving. I'm now in South Carolina working at Seacoast Church, and I'm currently on the road driving from Mount Pleasant or Charleston area, South Carolina, to Greenville, South Carolina, to do an installation at a campus. Just been really busy recently and thought while I had a few minutes in the car, I'd just get these thoughts down and post it on the feed. So sorry for the drop in quality of the voice and the road noise you're probably going to hear, but please bear with me and hopefully the good information we have will override the noise and everything else. So, Soundcraft VI, or SI Compact, sorry, I said VI in the intro, but it's actually the SI Compact 32. Picked one up and installed it in our use space when I was in Houston at Sugar Creek. And I did a review on this back, I think, in episode 16, and got a few people asking for an update on that, and just wanted to give you some thoughts after I've used the console a little bit longer. Some of my initial thoughts still are there. I still think it's one of the easiest to use digital consoles I've now used, at least definitely in this price range. I've used the Roland M380 now. I've used the LS9 a lot. And the SI Compact just seems to really have a good interface, especially if it's a console that you're going to be using on the road with different groups. Once you have an LS9 set up, you don't end up spending a lot of time going through the menus. But if you're trying to take it and do something different with it than you're using it in like an installed location, it can be very difficult to do the setup. In fact, most of the time I prefer to do it on the System Manager interface software rather than on the console itself. I would say that the Soundcraft definitely has the plus there. It's very easy to operate, select the channels. In fact, the software that comes with the Soundcraft is less useful than the interface, which says a lot about the interface, the hardware interface and its usability, but I really definitely wish that they would step up the software interface. A couple of things about the software interface on the downside here is that the software interface is offline only. So basically you have to save your show, take your show, load it into the software, make your changes in the software, bring that software back, load it on the console. There is no online interactive mode like you have with System Manager on the Yamaha side or the Roland through the USB connected interface. Also, this is the first revision of this console. So think of it as Yamaha 1.0 in that a lot of the features are not there yet. They're promising that there will be control of this console interactively. They're also saying that there could be an iPad or iPhone app that would allow you to have control. Those aren't available yet. So a lot of this is kind of waiting in typical Soundcraft fashion, to be honest with you. While I really like the sound of the consoles, I like the operation of the consoles. One thing that's always bothered me about Soundcraft and their digital consoles, there seems to be a whole lot of promises, but it seems to take a really long time for that software to come out and exist and be there. I don't know if it's due to staffing levels or things like that. I love the expansion capability of the SI Compact in that it has two slots in it. The slots are capable of expanding to 64 channels, unlike Yamaha, which has limited their slots to 16 channels. This is a huge feature and one of the big reasons that I bought the console, but we're still waiting for the Avion card. And the Avion card was promised in the August time frame. I still believe to the date of this recording it hasn't been released. As well as we were promised the 16-channel console sometime in June, and as of August, the 32-channel version of the console, and as of August, the 32-channel version of the console still hadn't released. These are some things that Soundcraft has really got to step up in their digital line, is to get these products out and make them available. If you think about products like the PreSonus Studio Live consoles, which, you know, a lot of people complain about because they don't have flying faders, totally understand that, but they do have great remote software control. When the hardware came out, they promised new features. They seem to be coming out fairly quickly, and Soundcraft just seems to be behind in this area. I don't know if it's due to staffing levels or what the deal is, but they've really got to start getting the hardware out that makes these consoles usable. Other things that I've found since we've been using the console a little bit more is you cannot save. They don't have EQ libraries and channel preset libraries as they do in the, you know, in the Yamahas or Roland models in the same price range. Assuming this is coming, but again, it's just not there yet. But, you know, you just got to weigh what is, you know, available versus, or what features you need. And what's more important in what you use. You know, like with all these consoles, you've got to take the things that are most important to you, figure out what those are, and put those in use. I think I said in the original podcast that the console is missing the two-channel recording feature that some of the other consoles provide. To me, while that's, yeah, great, it's a nice feature, I've never used it. I know people that do use it regularly. But I've also heard of problems with that locking up and having issues. I think if I want to do recording, I'm going to record to an external device rather than trying to make my console do that and record it internally. Take some of that processing and that load off and let the console really focus on being a console. The other piece that I really love about the Soundcraft that I've really been missing, here at Seacoast, we've got lots of Yamaha consoles, and even in the main space, we've got a Yamaha console, and the one feature that I still absolutely love about the SI Compact is that it has a channel delay on every single channel. That's a feature that is, you know, available on the higher-end consoles, such as the Digicos, the Venues. I believe the higher-end Soundcraft consoles as well have a channel delay on every single channel. This can be really helpful if you need to just knock something slightly out of phase but not do a complete 180 flop to help you with some feedback maybe in a lapel mic, or, you know, give you that capability to get a few mics in phase, and gives you a much higher control level than just a phase switch. It's something that I've really missed having on, you know, consoles, in these lower-end consoles, when you're fighting a really nasty room or you know, you've got to just fix some sort of phase or issue with delay that you need. Having that delay available on each channel is a really valuable tool in fixing problems. So, while it is definitely missing some of the more polished features, I think they will come down the line. Really hope that Soundcraft gets their act together and gets these features out quickly, and not taking the time that they get their card slots going and give you that availability to have more output capability, such as being able to go MADI out of the console to the Roland mixers rather than just going native Avion and being limited to 16 channels. You know, once they get those card slots going and the software gets to maybe revision 2 or revision 3 and they finally get the interactivity going, I think this is really going to be a super solid console. But if you're making the decision today, you know, weigh these particular options and see how important they are to you. If you're doing a live show and you're traveling and things are changing from show to show, the EQ library is not a real big thing for you. That's not going to really help you a lot. You're going to be dialing that in manually anyways. But if you're working in an environment where you may have rotating praise team members and they happen to be the same 10 people, then it might be something that's more valuable to you, being able to recall those channel EQs or recall the other compression settings and things like that. But if that's, you know, again, something where you got different people all the time, that may not be important in the SI Compact's a great solution for you. I would also check out, look at the effects and what you need effects processing wise. While they give you four channels of effects, it's really, you end up eating up some of your regular channels to get there. You are limited to 32 channels, and that does include your effects, so you can really gobble up some channels there. You know, weigh that when you're looking at the 24 channel or the 16 channel model, in that you may be patching in some effects and taking up some of those channels to where the LS9, for example, gives you 32 channels plus your four stereo ins. So that's another limiting factor that we kind of came across. And while I still think it's a great console, just take those, you know, every console has its limitations. I would still say that the sound quality of the SI Compact is far above what I've heard out of the LS9. And so if sound quality is really important and you're looking for clean, quick operation, the SI Compact's a great choice. If you're really going to be relying on a lot of those features and you come out of a world where you're used to a lot of those features that the LS9 has, those may feel like limitations to you now. And if you need Aviom or some of the add-on cards today, that may be another problem that you may want to wait a little while and check it out. Still really like this console and, you know, look forward to using it more in the future. But today, those are some of the limitations. Hey, coming up on future shows, I'm going to do a review of the Roland M380. Installed one of those, actually, in Greenville, where I'm headed right now. Great console. Want to give a review of that. Even really like it with the limited number of faders on the surface. And just be looking forward to that. Got a bunch of shows. I think I'm finally getting settled in here in Greenville, and we'll get back onto a weekly or at least a bi-weekly schedule of recording. So be looking for future episodes of Church Grip. Again, my name is Rick. You can find me on Twitter. I am at OSS Mac. I also have a Twitter handle for the show. That is at Church Grip. You can find the podcast if you like this show. You can find it in iTunes and just search on Church Grip in the iTunes store. And please subscribe there. Leave a comment if you like the show. It'll help others find the show. Also, Church Grip is a part of the Church Tech Arts Network. Go over to techartsnetwork.com and you can find the show there. Hope you guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.